Short Shorts with Josh and
Dan.
Dan, of course, Dan.
Short Shorts, we talk sports. Short Shorts.
It's Short Shorts with Josh and Dan. We'll give you $30 to listen to our show.
Checks will not be honored.
On tonight's episode of Short Shorts, Josh and Dan remove their undergarments for a 7-year-old schoolboy.
Why, here they come, Josh and Dan with the Short Shorts again.
Hello, shorties. Welcome to Short Shorts. Hi, Dan.
Hey, shorties. How's everyone doing? I feel like I'm, like, asking a girl out and I'm nervous right now. Not that I get nervous about those things, but...
No, you're smooth.
Yeah. What? I get tons of girls from this podcast. I just say Short Shorts. That's all you need to know. Here's my number. Call me.
Short Shorts business cards.
Yeah, we should look into it. And t-shirts and as much paraphernalia as possible.
I'm ready to sell out.
I want little kid Short Shorts diapers, you know, within the next 5 years.
I mean, I'm doing this so I can sell out big time. That's all I want to do.
The only reason, that and the girls, you know? That's the only reason I do. I don't even care about sports.
No. Well,
or short people, for that matter. Short shorts.
All right, well, it's podcast time. It's been 6 days or something?
Yeah, too many. Too many days. That's all you need to know.
I know. We're on the same coast now. We should be podcasting at least twice a week. That's the plan.
At least twice an hour, Joshua.
Half an hour podcast.
That's our goal. We have two goals. Short shorts, logos on diapers, and two podcasts an hour.
So we do like a half an hour podcast every half an hour, continuously, yeah. until we die.
And until we die or we become rich and famous.
Right, and then we sell out and quit.
Obviously, yes. Cool. I can't wait for that to happen.
Yep, well, it's not going to happen, so sorry.
Anyways.
We've got this NBA Finals thing coming up. Pretty exciting
times. I heard about that. It seems kind of exciting.
It is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy. I mean, honestly, off the bat, I'm happy that I have a team that I can root for. I feel like if it was Cleveland against LA, I wouldn't really care so much who won, you know?
Yeah, it would just make for, you know, sheer entertainment. I think that Finals, to be honest with you, probably would have been disappointing too, to be honest with you, because it would have been so hyped up, you know?
Probably. I mean, I guess it couldn't really outdo the hype. I just feel like, you know, if Kobe wins another championship, I don't really care. If LeBron wins, it's like he's almost supposed to win, so that's not a big surprise.
Yeah. And I like the fact that he's yet to win a championship, because it allows me, it kind of justifies me to, I kind of have a little bit of hate thing going on for him right now. So with all of his kind of arrogant, cocky comments, I could always just say, like, win a championship and then say stuff like that.
Right.
And so once he wins a championship, then he could start, it justifies his cockiness.
Yeah, and when you're being called the chosen one before you've really done anything of note, it kind of makes things, things difficult. That's like that, you know, it's like the expectations are you know, pretty hard to top. So,
yeah.
I wouldn't mind being
I'm pumped about this final too. It'll be fun.
Yeah. So anyway, let's do a little lightning shorts. I think we've got some nice questions. Hopefully a lot of NBA Finals related things, because that's the big story going on right now. But I guess we'll
obviously
see.
I actually have a water polo question, so I don't know about this NBA Finals business, but I don't know where I just pulled out water polo, by the way.
Water polo's fun.
It is fun. I mean, yeah. Anyways, I don't even know where I was going to go with that. I mean, clearly I have a lot of built-up feelings about water polo.
Well, we played water polo in Israel. I mean, I'll just
that's
bring
actually
it up
right where
now.
I was going to go with it, and then I lost miserably.
Yeah, pretty bad.
And you had a girl on your team, too.
Yeah, well, listeners, two things you need to know about Dan is that Dan is terrible at water polo, and he's terrible at the game of taps.
And incredibly sexist, because I just said that it was a shock that I lost to you because you had a girl on your team.
If you need to know three things about Dan, and those are the three. So
yeah, there you go. Now everybody knows me. My life is an open book. A sexist open book. No, I'm joking. Women are awesome. Anyways, should we get to lightning shorts?
Yeah. So lightning shorts, Dan and I prepare questions for each other. We don't know what we're going to be asked. It could be anything involving any sports. Probably more about NBA Finals right now, but, you know, it could be anything. Could be serious, could not. Could be bad, could not.
No, that was beautiful. All right, so let's dive in, yeah?
All right, so you go first.
So my first question, actually, this works out well. It works exactly what we were just talking about. With LA being such a dislikable team, mm-hmm. I don't know if dislikable is a word, by the way.
Sure.
But everybody understands what I mean.
Let's
if
say
don't,
hated,
just stop listening.
Hated team.
But, okay, yeah. Actually, don't stop listening. With LA being such a hated team, easy to hate team, Orlando being such, they're pretty gosh darn likable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who is your least favorite player on Orlando, and who's your favorite player on LA?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, I definitely buy into this thing with that LA is not very likable, and Orlando's a more likable team. They're also the underdog, which makes them even more likable.
Yeah, yeah. I think I summed it up pretty well when I said, gosh darn likable. I mean, I feel like there's five or six players on Orlando that I just want to hug, whereas the Lakers have guys that if they were on any other team in the league, I'd probably like them, but the fact that they're wearing the purple and gold, I just can't stand them.
Right, right. Okay, God, this is tough.
I'm looking at LA's roster right now, and I would not want to be on air quoted saying I like any of those guys.
All right, you know, I probably would have said Fisher before we had that really dirty foul.
Yep, I would have said the same thing too, yeah.
And I don't know, I mean, I don't mind when players have dirty fouls, but it was so unexpected when he did it. I feel like he's just a class act guy. So
I've got two players on the Lakers in mind, but I'm going to let you answer first because I was the one who did ask you.
Okay, let's go with Trevor Ariza.
That was one of the guys I was going to go with.
I think the reason I'm going to take Trevor Ariza is, first of all, he's fun, he's energetic, seems like he's having a good time out there. Also, he's only been there for a year, I believe, so he's not like really part of...
I think this is his second year.
Oh, is it? Okay, well, even so, he's not like really part of that Lakers core that you've seen around for like the last few years. I feel like he's still new to the system, so he's...
And former Knickerbocker.
Oh, well, I love all my former Knickerbockers, of course.
Obviously, you take a bullet for any of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think I go with Ariza.
I also like him. He's a hustle kind of player, you know? He gets a lot of steals, and I like those kind of those X-Factor kind of stats. It shows that they're a hard worker.
Yeah, he's scrappy. He's like Mark Madsen, but much better in every way.
Yeah. So Ariza would have been one of my picks, and my other guy would have been our fellow Jewish brethren, Jordan Farmar, one of the few NBA basketball players that's been bar mitzvahed.
Has he been bar mitzvahed? Are you sure?
Yeah, don't ask why I know that, but I am positive he has been bar mitzvahed.
That's good, man. That's good.
I think in one of our earlier podcasts, I might have had I don't even remember. There was some question that I was going to ask you. I don't even know if it ever made it to air.
Yeah.
But it was along the lines of who is your favorite Jewish athlete, and so I was looking up some names to give to you. That might have been it. Or maybe I was just stalking Jordan Farmar from afar.
Interesting. Well, but you're saying you just like him because he's Jewish, or is there any other reason?
I guess he looks like a cool guy that I could hang out with. I don't know. But yeah. But, you know, bar mitzvah. You know, I like the fact that he was reading from the Torah, voice cracking, all that stuff.
He's got some pretty crazy ears. I bet he was really embarrassed as a teenager.
Crazy ears, yeah.
There's really awful pictures of him at the Torah with just floppy ears. Embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so those would be my two Laker likable guys. All right, now I want to hear, you're about to go on record saying who you hate, who you despise on Orlando.
Okay, I mean, like...
And give me like, meaningful guys. If you give me Tyronn Lue, I'm going to slap you.
How about Marcin Gortat?
You really don't like him, though?
No, I love him.
And he's... Okay. I was going to say, he's actually... I mean, he's not that meaningful, but he's been getting some minutes.
And he also blocked...
Whenever Howard's in foul trouble, he's been getting...
He had two big blocks on LeBron in the last series also, so you got to give it to him.
I'm giving it to him.
All right, my hated player on the Magic. This is tough.
Yeah, it is tough.
It hurts. All right, I'm going to go Ray for Alston.
Ooh,
I feel like what bothers me about him is that I feel like he's kind of like hamming it up out there, kissing the ref, you know, slap.
I thought I was gonna get a tech for that or so. That's just weird.
You don't kiss the ref. You don't slap Eddie House.
Eddie House did. I feel like this gets lost a lot. Eddie House did throw him a pretty dirty like shove after hitting a 3-pointer in his face.
Okay, but you know,
granted,
I mean,
you don't hit a guy in the head.
I feel like
sorry, it might have just cursed. You don't slap a guy in the head, but like Eddie House did, like throw an elbow to him as he was walking past him. But whatever.
I feel like Rafer.
I love Eddie House, so I'll let it go. All
right, look, I feel like Rafer's got this like I don't know. I mean, I understand that he's got that like N1 street basketball background.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's like having he's like acting like silly out there sometimes. Kissing the ref is unexcusable. This thing where he slapped Eddie House was weird. I feel like he's just, like, smiling in strange times, not taking things seriously enough, and just doing, like, weird floaters when he misses, like, 90% of them.
Yeah, his three-point shooting drives me insane.
He's
not a good three-point shooter. He really isn't.
He's not. I gotta go
with
Rafer.
Guys like Turk, Lewis, and Petrus, Alston just shouldn't be shooting the three.
Yeah, I don't know.
And J.J. Redick, of course.
Well, sure. But I just feel like Rafer's not, he's not my cup of tea. I feel like I don't really relate to him when I see him out there. Okay. Everything he does, I would do the exact opposite in most circumstances. So you would
not skip to your loo?
I would not skip to my loo.
You would hop to your Bob.
Okay, yeah. I guess so.
I don't know. I just came up with that on the spot, okay? Just
that was really good.
Bear with me there. It's early.
I would go with Brafer, yeah.
Okay, cool. Good answers.
All right. Wait, who do you hate the most in the Magic?
Yeah, I was hoping I could squeeze by without saying that one. No. To be honest, you made a really convincing argument with Ray Wallace, and you had me with his careless three-point shooting. Maybe Rashard Lewis, because he has such an absurdly huge contract, and he's playing well, but I want to see him play a little bit more physical. I don't know, but I think he's playing great this playoffs, though, and I don't think they'd be where they are without him, so I actually rescind my Rashard Lewis. I like him. Any Orlando fans listening, please don't hate me. I guess I would go Alston as well.
Hmm, interesting. Okay.
I just was really thinking that out right there on the spot, you know?
Yeah, well, that's how we do it, you know?
I just let you inside the mind of Daniel Cohen.
All right, here's my question for you.
All right, lay it on me.
I'm going to give you three players for each team. And I want you to tell me who you think could be the X factor in this series for each team.
Okay.
All right, we'll do the Magic first. So here's three players. Pietrus, depending on how you pronounce it.
Pietrus. Continue.
Courtney Lee.
Yeah.
Or Jameer Nelson.
Oh, Nelson.
Jammer.
All right, so do I go right now, or am I waiting for you to give me the LA X Factor?
No, do Orlando. Out of those three guys, who is most likely to be your X Factor?
I got to go Pietrus, because I think Pietrus is going to be, just like he was playing against LeBron, especially in late in the games, because mm-hmm. I think Orlando was kind of changed up the defense throughout the game, but then in crunch time they would throw Pietrus.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pietrus is going to go against Kobe for the third and fourth quarters of this series. And he hits some huge threes, like really clutch threes that get missed with some of Lewis's and Turkoglu's threes and some of Dwight Howard's plays. But as far as Courtney Lee goes, if Nelson does come back, I think his minutes are going to be, you know, he's not going to be a starter anymore. I don't know how they work in Nelson
I don't think Jameer would start if he came back.
Oh, you're right. That's a good point.
Yeah, so here's what I think. I think that with Pietrus, Van Gundy was saying he actually considered starting Pietrus in the Cavs series as opposed to Courtney Lee. So I think, you know, this final series makes an even stronger case, or maybe as strong of a case, but just the way that he's been guarding LeBron and the way that he could possibly guard Kobe, maybe you want him guarding Kobe all game. He's playing like 30-something minutes every game anyway.
Yeah, but you don't want him guarding Kobe all game, because then by the time the fourth quarter comes, he's probably going to be in pretty bad foul trouble.
Maybe, but he'll also wear Kobe down more as the game goes on.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
My X factor there, I think, is Pietrus, because I think that's the biggest X factor in the series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you shut down Kobe? If you shut down Kobe, I'm thinking Orlando's going to win this series, you know?
Right. The thing with Jameer Nelson that confuses me the most is that, so he's healthy, like he might play, I guess they're not certain yet.
Yeah.
I just don't get why you want to mess with what they have going right now.
That is true, but at the same time, it's like, if you're Jameer Nelson, do you just say, like, doctors all of a sudden tell you you're cleared to play, and do you just not tell anyone? Do you just, like, not go, you say, I'm just going to stay out anyways?
No, but you know, it's definitely team doctors that have cleared him. Like, I'm sure the whole team knows that he's
I obviously know that, but I'm just saying, like, you're not just going to say, like, well, the team's doing well now, so I'm just not going to dress, you know?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like a tough thing, you know. You want to be a part of the team. You want to be a part of the playoff team, especially if they win the entire thing and Jameer can play it all.
I felt so bad from this playoffs, because like I said, Orlando is a really likable team. So anyways, it'll be interesting to see how he fits in with the dynamic, but I think he can get some decent minutes in there, kind of come off the bench and provide some production, which I think could be a big advantage for Orlando, so we'll see.
I think if he plays bench minutes, it definitely won't hurt, but if they like insert him in the starting lineup and they just mess with that core rotation, I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, well, yeah. So like I said, I think Orlando's bench could be an X factor. So maybe Nelson's the answer to your question. But I still think it's Pietrus, though, as that big X factor. Who do you have as your players for LA as potential X factor players?
Okay, potential X factor players in LA. Here's my three I'm going to give you. Trevor Ariza.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha Vujacic.
All right, well, I'm not going with him.
And Andrew Bynum.
Ooh, okay. Right off the bat, definitely Bynum. I hope, I mean, if you're an LA fan, you have to hope it's Bynum, because I don't think they win this series without Bynum.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sasha Vujacic, I think he's had a lousy playoffs thus far, so I think his minutes are reflecting that. So I don't think, I mean, obviously it helps if he starts shooting the ball better, but I don't think it's really going to make much of a difference. I think they can still win the series without him. Trevor Ariza, yeah, he's been playing well so far. I think they can get by. I think if Odom continues to pick up his game, then I think there's no reason why Ariza's impact is less significant if Odom picks up his game.
Mm-hmm.
But then that big factor is if Bynum could really play, you know, some like meaningful minutes and put up some meaningful numbers for them, I think that tilts the scale in LA's favor pretty significantly.
Well, the biggest thing with Bynum for me is the level of defense he can play on Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you got to figure that Lamar Odom's going to guard Dwight Howard at some point. And, you know, Bynum started most of the games in the playoffs, but Odom started a couple games also. So you got to wonder, you know, how is Phil Jackson going to have his lineup? I mean, you think Lamar's going to come off the bench because that's, you know, that's LA's key. They have this strong guy coming off the bench in Lamar Odom. But maybe they insert him in the starting lineup because they think he's more of a physical presence that could stop Dwight Howard. I feel like Andrew Bynum is just so soft. He's like a big, lanky dude.
I think Odom and Bynum are both so soft mentally. You know, they don't take criticism well. They don't play physically. They bother me as players. But if Bynum can step it up, I think he does have the potential to be the most the biggest X factor.
Maybe I can't really see him. I can see him potentially being the X factor. I can't see it actually happening. Just the way he's played this whole playoffs, like why would he suddenly just like snap out of it in the finals? Maybe he'll be inspired by the scene, but I feel like he's a young dude. He's probably really nervous, hasn't done much yet. I don't think his teammates and the coaching staff has much faith in him. I don't think he has faith in himself. You know, why is he going to suddenly turn it around like that?
Yeah, it would be one thing if he started turning it around right in the beginning of this playoffs, but for him to all of a sudden turn around in the finals, the biggest stage possible against the defensive player of the year, against the best center in the league, you're right. I give you that. I think the big thing is that I think one of the big advantages that the Lakers have over Orlando that Cleveland didn't have is the Lakers just have more big men to put on Howard, and I think they're much better coached, so they're going to use those big men well. And so you guys have guys like Walton, Bynum, Odom, Gasol that could all be taking fouls on Howard, and I think you know Phil Jackson's going to utilize that a lot better than worst coach of the year utilized it in. Well, Brown.
That's kind of interesting with taking fouls, because that kind of makes you think about you know, the Bulls' last three titles. They had that three-headed monster. It was Luke Longley, Bill Wennington, and Will Perdue. And when they played against the Magic in the playoffs, they would, you know, they would pretty much say, like, you know, these guys each have six fouls to give. They're going to give them, you know, as much as they can, and they're going to force Shaq to hit free throws. And Dwight Howard isn't as bad of a free throw shooter as Shaq, but you've seen him struggle, you know, during the season in the playoffs, shooting like 60%, so it'll be interesting if they kind of go to a tactic where, you know, if Dwight gets the ball down low, they just take a foul. We'll see.
Well, I mean, you just look at it. If you were to go for biggest X factor just overall on Orlando, not just like role players, but biggest X factor, it's got to be Dwight Howard, right? I mean, I think this team is only going to go as far as he takes them.
Right. I mean, it's hard to call him X factor because he's just like the star of the team.
But I'm just meaning like he's the most pivotal player on the team.
And
so if you have strategies to take him out of the game, you know, you have tons of big men that can do that. Whereas, you know, Cleveland only had Ilgauskas and my most hated player in the league. I don't even want to say his name.
Oh, you mean Barishal?
Please, it's early in the morning. Why would you upset me like that? But you know what I mean. I think those are the only two bigs that they had to really kind of throw Howard off his game and foul him. Whereas I think LA has a bunch more guys, smarter guys also.
And
guys with less floppy of hair that I don't absolutely despise.
Well, it'll be interesting. I guess we'll see. But, you know, I have faith in Dwight Howard. I think he'll play well. But, yeah, it definitely comes down to the way that Bynum and Odom are able to guard him. And then the way that the bigs that can support them. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. My question for you.
Yeah.
So this is NBA related, but not specific to finals. Is that kosher with you?
Totally kosher.
Okay. Thank you for your blessing, Rabbi.
Yeah.
All right. So you got to figure Cleveland this offseason, they're going to make some pretty big moves, I would think, to get some better talent in Cleveland to really kind of persuade LeBron to stay in Cleveland beyond 2010, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a list of a couple free agents this offseason. I want you to say who you think is the best fit for Cleveland this summer.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
All right. So we've got Mike Bibby. I can repeat these if you want. I'm just going to run through them real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
There's Bibby, Gordon, Kidd, Sheed, Ron Artest, Boozer, and Marion.
Oh, interesting.
There's a couple others, but I didn't think that they were, and I didn't want to give you too many, you know, make it a little sensory overload.
Right. Wait.
You want me to say them again?
Yeah, say them one more time.
Michael Bibby of the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
Benjamin Gordon of the Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Kidd of the D-Mavs. Rasheed Wallace of Pistons. Artest. Carlos Boozer, who I don't think we would ever see back in Cleveland.
No. I'm scratching that one off immediately.
I know, but it's just like, he would be an amazing fit, though, wouldn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
He really would. I think, to be honest with you, of all the names, he would be the best fit. And then Sean Marion, who, if Sean Marion could somehow revive his career, you know, and start putting up anywhere just similar numbers to what he had in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be the same because they know he's not playing D'Antoni ball and he doesn't have a point guard like Nash, but just similar numbers or even just on the defensive end. That would be pretty big.
I think Marion's like, you know, over 30 years old at this point and he's just
His drop off just happened like on a dime. It was so frustrating.
He just doesn't care. He just doesn't care. He's like playing on these crappy teams, doesn't care at all.
But it's like, why did he demanded to be traded so he could be an alpha dog, and then he just doesn't care. That, to me, just doesn't make any sense.
Maybe he wanted to be in a place where he just didn't have to care. He wants to just, like,
go about his business. That's really good work ethic. Mama Mary, you should be very proud of your son right now.
Honestly, I think out of those players, the one that maybe the most fit, definitely the most interesting to me, is Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah, that's exactly, when I saw that list of names, I was like, that's a cool fit. I like that.
And the reason, I think it would work, in terms of a fit, like a big power forward, physical presence. Ben Wallace might retire. I don't think that matters. Ben Wallace is, you know, a shell of his former self. And Sheed isn't what he used to be either, but I feel like Sheed, first of all, the most important thing with Sheed is that he needs a change of scenery, obviously. I mean, he just didn't care at all this year. And I think he knew that team wasn't going anywhere, and he kind of quit on them a little bit. You know, Sheed's not 28 years old anymore.
The whole Pistons team just quit on themselves a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but Sheed's not, you know, he's not that young guy anymore. I think he can still do a lot of things in terms of his offense and defense. I think they just, the Cavs need a physical guy like him. Like, who, you know, Ben Wallace couldn't even play physical. You watch him running around. He doesn't even have the fro anymore. He's got this, like, really nice, like, tightly cut haircut. Doesn't make any sense when you watch him out there. It just seems like,
he's gone straight edge.
Yes, and then, you know, the Bulls thought, well, this is going back, you know, when the Bulls took a chance on Ben Wallace, didn't work out either. I don't know what the Cavs were thinking. But you know, I think they need a physical guy. I think that'll take a lot of pressure off the outside shooters and help LeBron. I think it's someone who's been there with playoff experience.
Well, that's, I think, a big thing. He has a championship ring, which I don't think there are any other guys in Cleveland that have a ring.
And just imagine LeBron and Sheed being teammates. I think that would be great. There's something like really exciting about that. I think that would help each other a little bit. I think that would definitely help LeBron to bring out some personality and stop being such like a. He seems like he's so careful and cautious.
Poster boy, just so careful with everything he says.
Yeah, I want to see LeBron like just kind of let loose a little bit, and I think Sheed.
But even though now that he finally has let loose, everyone's kind of like with the handshake, which we can touch on later.
Well, let me do my question because that ties into my question.
But really quickly though, just with how Sheed fits in, I think it works well because I think she needs to be in a scenery where there's a clear alpha dog that could keep him in check. If he's on a team that's kind of going nowhere and he's one of the most talented players on the team, he's just gonna lose it. He's not gonna be a very structured player. But if he's on a team where there's no way he could dispute that LeBron's a better player than him. So right. LeBron is constantly there to keep him in check, you know?
That's a cool core. If the core of your team is LeBron, Mo Williams, and Rasheed Wallace, I mean, you know.
Yeah, they're going to hit those Cleveland clubs hard, I'll tell you that.
I guess it's a matter of being able to, you know, fit them into the salary cap, but who knows?
Yeah. Anyways, all right, your question for me.
So my question was, which current event do you care about least? I'm going to give you three things. David Ortiz's power struggles.
I'll tell you, I love that event right now because I love seeing Red Sox fans be miserable. Continue.
Okay, LeBron James's poor sportsmanship.
Yeah.
Or the entire sport of tennis.
Well, Nadal lost the other day. That was kind of exciting, though. I guess I care least about the entire sport of tennis.
Really?
To be honest with you, I like watching tennis, but whatever. But I think with your teasing, like I said, I love seeing Boston be miserable. And it's also kind of like, sorry, Red Sox fans, but Ortiz took steroids. So did that entire 04 championship team. So you just need to get over that. I've now pissed off the entire New England fan base that we might have had.
Well, did you read there's a Bill Simmons article on ESPN right now.
Yeah, I did, where he talks about going to a game in 10 years with his son.
No. It was a new one that was posted like today or yesterday about like the real reason Big Poppy is struggling.
I haven't read that yet.
All right, well, I'll give you a brief summary. First of all, it's the worst article that Bill Simmons has written in like a year or two.
Okay.
The point of it is that...
I'm really looking forward to it then.
The point is basically that it's not the fact that he's like not taking steroids anymore, although he might be. It's more that he's actually older than he says he is. And
that's probably true too.
Maybe, but if you say that he's 2 years older than if he's actually 2 years older than he's saying, if he's like 35 instead of 33, like, come on. This is such a marked drop-off. Are you saying that like that's really the only reason?
Yeah, you're right. That shouldn't really be the reason why he's averaging like eight batters left on base per game or something like that.
Right. And the thing with LeBron James is that, I mean, if I was to choose one, I would choose that one because, honestly, I don't care. Their team's not in the playoffs anymore. LeBron James is, you know, I want to focus on the finals right now. I don't want to think about that. But of course, with media coverage, that only makes sense. But it made me think about the Pistons team in 91 that actually walked off the court against the Bulls.
And then Jordan went off on that.
They lost in the Eastern Conference Finals, and the whole team walked off except for Joe Dumars. And apparently it was something that, like, Lame Beer planned up. You know, big surprise, Lame Beer. And, you know, that was the entire team. The one thing I'll give that Pistons team, though, is that was, like, their end of an era. You know, they knew the Bulls were the new team, and they were kind of old news.
Yeah.
With this LeBron James thing, like, LeBron James is going to have ample chances to get to the finals again and make it, you know, and make it happen. So I feel like it's almost like, you know, you got to take your lumps and just like, you know, get over the fact that you're still 24 years old and you'll have so many more chances in the future.
And not to mention, you know, his connection with Howard, with the Team USA team. You saw when LA eliminated Denver, you know, the camera specifically showed Kobe and Melo had like a nice embrace. They clearly were fond of each other, good words for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Melo was able to man up and just move on, you know?
Yeah, apparently Howard gave him like a sneaky like handshake at some point during the end of the game.
The old sneak shake,
it was like a really sneaky shake.
So typical Howard.
Yeah, I think there was like 40 seconds left in the game. LeBron gave him a little sneak shake, but...
sneak shake, yeah. Well, who knows? Anyways, the only reason I didn't choose that is because it finally gives the media an excuse to rip on LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really like LeBron that much, so I like the fact that the media is finally not just like posterizing this, you know... witnessing next one, chosen one guy, you know?
I'm also kind of surprised. Well, I agree with that. I'm also kind of surprised that he hasn't, really had a legitimate apology, you know?
Well, he did, like, a press conference the next day, and it was, like, I mean, it just made me hate him more, and it just made me fuel the fire of win a championship and then say cocky stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, he was just like, I hate losing, you know,
yeah,
it's the worst thing in the world.
Like, you know, I played great, so, like, you know, what do you want me to do? I'm a competitor, and it's just like, stop saying that. You didn't win a championship. You didn't win the series. So just, like, move on, shake their hand, and wait to practice, work harder. That's
probably his passive-aggressive way of saying, hey, owner, get me some players or else I'm leaving.
Yeah, it's interesting because that's what Kobe Bryant did a couple of years ago with L.A.
Yep, it's true. And then he got Powell, and then, you know.
Well, they stole Powell, but whatever. Well, anyways, yeah. So,
Powell was there.
But I completely agree with you that it's the NBA Finals. I want to hear stories about the NBA Finals. I don't want to hear stories about some baby that couldn't deal with it.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe we should send LeBron James a short diaper, huh?
Or maybe we should have him hang out with Jay Cutler one of these days.
Jay Cut. Nice. Good call. Huggies. That's his new nickname. Remember from a couple podcasts ago, Huggies. Jay Huggies Cutler.
All right, let's do a quick recap of the bet from last week.
Okay, cool.
So our bet last week was we had Melo, Kobe, and LeBron, all three of these guys scoring big in the conference finals. And we had to each choose a player as to who would score the highest over the next few games for our next podcast. You took Melo, I took Kobe, and we said if LeBron scored the highest, we both lose. Pretty foolish, because LeBron scored the highest.
That was pretty foolish, but I like it anyways.
So LeBron averaged 31 points, Kobe 28.5, Melo 28, so a little moral victory for me.
Oh, wow, I came
in
last? I thought I came in second. Okay.
No, it was close, because Kobe had 22 and 35. Melo had 31 and 25, so he edged him out by one total point.
Melo really let me down on this one.
the part that hurts the most, though, is that we chose not to include Dwight Howard, and Dwight Howard would have actually won because he averaged 32 points over those two games.
Yeah, he put up a pretty strong game six.
Right. So the wager is that the loser, well, considering we both lost, we both need to do this, and we both chose not to choose LeBron, so we both need to draw a picture of LeBron, and he's angry with us in some way, basically because yes. We didn't choose him. We didn't you know, believe in him.
Am I allowed to insult him in my picture?
I think he has to insult you. Like, he's mad at you for not choosing him. All
right, so I can't put him in, like, hanging out with Huggies?
No, you can.
But, all right, good, because that's happening.
And the bottom line is that they lost still. They're still out of it. But he, you know, we didn't choose him. We didn't believe in him. He did it. I think we should also incorporate Dwight Howard, because Dwight Howard we didn't give any credit to, and he actually had the highest average over those games. I feel like...
I completely agree with you. Done. All right, so we'll get those pictures posted up sometime this afternoon.
Yeah, as the podcast gets posted, hopefully some pictures. Cool. So watch out for that. This week's betting, man. So we were thinking about how game one is in LA Thursday night and, like, things to think about when you're watching the game. And we realized that there's always that one moment during games in LA where the camera pans around and shows all the celebrities that are in attendance. And there's always, you know, like a fair share of A-list celebrities, and you got to
think you're gonna have Jack, you know, and you're gonna have tons of random like B-list celebrities. It's gonna be great.
But you got to also think that, like, now that this is the NBA Finals, we're on, you know, primetime TV on ABC. More people will probably come out to the game. More celebrities will get tickets. So you got to expect that you'll see more people in the stands, and they'll be panning around, and you'll see everybody out there.
Yeah, I don't even know what to put the over-under at.
That's what I was thinking also.
The sky is the limit with this one. Whatever it is, I want the over.
Well, I was thinking about, I was thinking 4.5 for a playoff game, maybe for a finals game, 5.5, 6.5.
Well, here, if it's 6.5, what do you want the over or the under?
If it's 6, okay, because it's 6.5, it's really 5.5, because Jack is a given, you know. And
that's a good point.
And then we got to think about who else will be there. And then also think about, like, you might see so-and-so in the stands, but then maybe she's with her like, boyfriend, who's also famous, double whammy.
Yeah, that happened a couple times, you're right.
Right, that'll get you. I think a fair over-under for the number of celebrities that they will show in the crowd is probably 6.5.
Okay. I would take the over on that.
Okay, I wouldn't, because I think you're gonna have Jack. Now you're down to 5.5, so you need six people at this point. I'm taking the under. I'm giving you Jack Nicholson. So it's really 5.5. I mean, for all intents and purposes. But I still think that for them to show six more celebrities, I think that seems like a little too much.
All right. I mean, I'm not gonna argue with you because I want the over. I think they're gonna obviously show six more. But you know, it is what it is.
Well, here's
and
my question:
weird guy that wears like that shiny stuff is not a celebrity.
Wait, what? Craig Sager?
No. Well, he's not a celebrity either. But there's like that super fan that they have that always sits like next to Jack, and he wears that shiny coat and weird tight pants and a cowboy hat.
Oh, the beard?
Yeah.
Hey, who is that guy?
I don't know. Oh, wait. No, you're talking about Donald Sutherland.
That's not Donald Sutherland.
Wait, Donald Sutherland is at every single Lakers game.
Yeah, but he's not sitting next to Jack. It's like some other guy.
He is sitting next to Jack. He's got the white beard with those weird glasses.
That's Donald Sutherland?
100%, sir.
Why are you so sure?
Because it is Donald Sutherland.
All right, let's make a side bet right now, because I don't believe you.
Side bet is happening. Donald Sutherland is at every single game of the Lakers, and it's that weird guy with the white beard.
All right, well, we'll have to look it up for next podcast, because I honestly don't believe it. I have a hard time believing that, I got to say. I'm sorry.
All right, dude, is there a specific wager on this one as well?
This is just pure respect.
Pure respect. All right. I'm looking forward to having no pure respect in you.
All right, so yeah, 6.5, you're taking me over, I'm taking me under. The wager this week is a little something that Dan cleverly titled 2 Minutes in Heaven. So why don't you tell us about it?
All right, 2 Minutes in Heaven is, I feel like there's a lot of topics that get kind of shoved under the rug that we never really get to talk about. For me, a lot of hockey stuff. For Josh, who gives a shit?
Oh, boy.
But, so stuff that just doesn't get to come up. And so I think with the winner of this bet, we'll get 2 minutes to say whatever is on their mind, whatever they want to talk about. 2 minutes uninterrupted of pure heaven.
Great.
Yeah?
That's totally fine. I like that a lot.
2 minutes hammer. Kicking it old school, middle school right there, you know?
Yeah, I know. I like that.
Yeah. All right. So that will be our bet. That will be our wager. And I think that is a wrap, huh?
That's a wrap. I'm excited for game one of the finals coming up tomorrow. No, Thursday. Yeah. Sorry, Thursday. And Watch out for those celebrities.
Yeah, watch out for celebrities. What's their plug? Shortshorts.tumblr.com.
Nice. Can you do it? Can you finish it?
It's Twitter, but it's like Twitter.shorts.
Twitter.shorts. Come on, man.
It's, I don't know. I can make something up, but I don't think it's going to work out too well.
Well, make something up, and I'll correct you. Just go ahead.
All right. ShortTwitter.com short shorts. .org/net.edu/.net.
Okay. Close. One, you had one too many dot nets in there.
Okay.
But it's actually short short. No, no, no. Whoa. What is it?
Whoa. Easy, buddy.
It's twitter.com/short_shorts. It's kind of hard making it underscore. You have to hit shift and then that button next to a zero.
Yeah,
in case you guys were wondering.
You know what?
There.
Deal with it. I hate Twitter, so whatever. No, I don't hate Twitter. I kind of do. All
right, well, that's
anyways,
it.
Anyways, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap right there.
Oh, Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Yeah, I owe you a Coke next time.
All right, cool.
Let's make our Donald Sutherland bet a Coke.
Done.
All right, good stuff. We'll post this sucker up soon. Watch out for the pictures that we drew. They'll be nice. And I guess that's it for now.
All right, take it easy, shorties. Take it easy, Josh.
All right, see you later.